chapter 16 is the great day of atonement, Yom Kippur. This is a picture that I would say one of the greatest that we have. Here are great spiritual lessons for us. And here we have one of the greatest. Now, the subjects treated so far in Leviticus, they've been offerings, priests, and sin. And none of these has dealt finally and completely with the sin question. We now come to that which more completely than any other deals with the subject of sin. It points more specifically and adequately to the work of Christ in redemption than anything we've seen so far. It's a shadow of His redemptive work. We are told, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." You see, a shadow is a picture. And although a picture is a poor substitute for the real thing or the real person, it points to the reality. Years ago, Hengstenberg commented, and I'm quoting, "The elucidation of the doctrine of types, now entirely neglected, is an important problem for future theologians." And the picture or the type in this great day of atonement, I think, merits our careful study. And Dr. Kellogg states the significance of this great day of atonement like this. He says, "It was perhaps the most important and characteristic in the whole Mosaic legislation. And the rabbis of that day and a later day, they designated the day of atonement with a simple word, Yomah, the day." And that's what it means. It was on this day that sin was dealt with in a more adequate and satisfactory way than in any other ceremony of the Mosaic system. And we're told here, when you get over to verse 16, it says, "All their sins." You'll make an atonement for all their sins because of their transgression in all their sins. What a picture that we have here. And in verse 22, he says, "All their iniquities, and the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities." All the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins. That's verse 21. You see, this was the best that the law had to offer until Christ came. And you have some instructions and restrictions of this day that grew out of the historical incident of the rebellion and disobedience of Nadab and Abihu. We saw that way back in chapter 10. Now, the Day of Atonement was observed in the seventh month and on the tenth day. And I think the numbers here are significant. They are, I think, in most of Scripture. The seventh is the Sabbatic month and denotes rest and cessation from works. And surely it's not amiss that this month was chosen to set forth the rest of redemption that's in Christ. "For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his." That's what the writer to the Hebrews says in 4:10. Now, 10's another prominent number in Scripture, and it seems to convey the idea of that which expresses God's complete will and way. For instance, you have 10 commandments. God could have given another, but he didn't. He could have just given 9. God requested the 10th. The tithe, and the remnant of Israel is defined as a tenth. That's in Isaiah 6:13. 10 expresses God's mind and purpose. The tenth day expresses the truth that Christ came to do the will of God, and it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief. He came in the fullness of time at the appointed hour. Christ came. Now, the word here for atonement, it's called the Great Day of Atonement, the Hebrew word is kafar. which means actually to cover. God in the Old Testament did not take away sins. He covered them until Christ came and removed them. And that's exactly what Paul means in Acts 17:30 when he says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at," that is, he overlooked it, "but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent." And then again in Romans 3:25, "whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation," that is, a mercy seat, "through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." Now, the great day of atonement pointed to Christ, but it did not take away sin. It was an atonement. It covered it until Christ came, you see. Then the writer to the Hebrews, Hebrews 9:15 says, "And for this cause he's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant," what's that? Old Testament, "they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." That's a tremendous statement, friends. And the Holy Spirit, again I'm reading, by the way, in Hebrews 9:8-9, "the Holy Spirit, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience." So that it's quite clear that the Old Testament sacrifices did not really remove sins. That's, I think, something that we need to call your attention to and emphasize here, that this great day of atonement pointed to Christ. Now, it reveals Christ as our great high priest going into the Holy of Holies for us.